Peace. Having world peace. Having that inner peace is what most people want. Hoping to make them happier. And a life to seek happiness for everyone. Dalai Lama, that's a picture of Dalai Lama, not me. He says, he quotes, "World peace must develop from inner peace. Peace is not just mere absence of violence. Peace is, I think, the manifestation of human compassion." Basically, he's saying, expression from the inside. For Dalai Lama to say this, what grounds does he stand on? Where does inner peace come from? It's easy to love someone and have peace with someone when they love you. But what happens when people wrong you, who hurt you? If you have wronged me, how will I be compassionate to you? Where's the justice in this? Therefore, it's God's compassion in Christ. It's what Christ who has paid for us. Christ has paid us for it in the gospel. The peace we have is because of Christ is in our heart, which I will explain later. But let me pray before I continue. Let's bow our heads. As we come together to hear your word, how are we to love each other as a community? I pray that we have ears that can be open, our hearts be open. I pray for the Spirit to help us and to help me to teach faithfully. From last week, we learned that our purpose in life, our goal in life, the reason we are here is to bring glory to God forever by loving Jesus. Because he's the foundation, he's the key, and he's the cornerstone. We glorify God when we hear and respond to the gospel, which transforms our heart, and we find our highest joy in God. This week, we'll be looking at what it means to love each other with the Word of God. And next week, we'll be looking at loving each other with the passage from Ephesians regarding unity of the church in Christ. Scriptures, first of all, it's all about God. Scripture, it's God's revelation to fallen mankind. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of the book, Revelations, God revealed himself to us in various ways. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. He reads, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he had made the universe." God revealed himself through the patriarchs, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then to prophet, like Moses, and then the judges that we had a couple months ago, and then back to the prophets, like Isaiah. And finally, in the last days, he revealed himself from his Son. God revealed to us his truth, his promises, and his divine plan to redeem us from sin. The scripture shows God revealing himself to us. The scriptures are an inspiration of God to be our rule of faith and life. Therefore, the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all God's word to us. And that's the Bible. What does it mean when we say Scripture is God's breath? It does not mean that God breathed out something and Scripture is created. Bang, there's a Bible. But it means that Scriptures came from God's mind and was communicated with God's mouth to human authors. Scriptures came directly from God, from His very mouth. That's why Scriptures is described as God's breathing out His word directly to human authors. Therefore, human authors who wrote the book of the Bible were inspired by God, making the book that they wrote the word of God, and God spoke it. And therefore, in Grace Point, the Scripture, the Bible, is the main authority of the church. It has authority over Grace Point Burwood, Grace Point itself, myself, Eugene, and even the elders and all of us. Scripture has authority over our church, and it's God's word. It's important to understand that the Bible is the way God speaks to us today. The Bible revealed to us His plan, His will, which relates to the past, the present, and the future to come. Since the Bible is God's revealing Himself to us, therefore through the Bible, God tells us how we are to love each other as a community. In today's talk, I'll be covering two ways of loving each other using scriptures. Firstly, putting on the peace of Christ. And secondly, using the scriptures to teach, rebuke, and correct. Let's turn to the first way of loving each other by using the scriptures. Putting on the peace of Christ. When we read the scriptures, it tells us about Jesus' work of salvation. If we accept the truth, this truth, then we need to act upon it as we're people saved by Jesus. Therefore, let's have a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In verse 12, it says that we are God's people, need to be holy as we set apart from God to the world. If we are God's people, we need to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience as people of Christ. We need to be peacemakers. We need to foster the community in practice. We need to act like one, and we need to act as a unity, as one. And we need to bear with each other for forgiveness because of God's grace shown to us. This is because God has forgiven us first when we were broken, when we were lost, and when we were in the dark. And in verse 14, it tells us about, above all, we need to love each other, as love binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we love each other as a church, we can show the world, our city, our friends, that we're able to overcome our differences, overcome our pride, overcome our self-centered living. Because of one thing, it It's God's love for us. We need to love. And more importantly, we need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are all part of God's church. We need to love the family because we are bounded with Christ. I know this is not the case sometimes. Sometimes it's hard. People may have wronged us and disappointed us in life, lied to us, and even maybe used us. And sometimes we are harder on people at church, as we expect better of them because they are Christians. You might be going through this right now. Well, I know this has happened to someone, and it wasn't a nice event. So someone at church, not this church, another my old church, was wrong by our brother. He was disappointed and was in fact hurt by the comment of the brother. He was angry and he didn't want to see his face. So each time he entered the church, he would look around, just looking. And if he sees a person sitting at the front, he will sit at the back. And then next week comes along, he looks again. And if he sees that person sitting at the back, he will walk to the front. Basically, he chose to seek the opposite side, direction, as far as possible as he can at church. But you know what? The real issue goes back to why was he doing this? He had to examine his own heart. There was an idol in his heart, which is not letting him forgive that person. It could have been pride, wanting control, or just self-centeredness. And that's why he was reacting the way he was. In verse 15, it tells us, Christ should rule our heart. Therefore, we also need to let go of our idols and sins and let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. And the reason we're able to love each other is in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. The reason we are able to love one another is because of the peace of Christ, which rules our hearts. And what is this peace which Paul talks about? There are two views of this, and I don't think you can separate the two. Let me explain it. The first view is the peace of having inner peace, which you know you are right with God. You are justified. You are made right. You are at peace with God because of the blood of Christ. Christ has washed away our sins on the cross. And we are saved. And we have a relationship with God. That's the inner peace. Then another view of peace is to be the peace as with each other of what Christ has done for us. Christ came to unite everyone who follow him. He gathered all the people together, from the Jews to the Gentiles, poor, rich, slaves, and masters. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, people from every nation, from all tribe and language, are together in heaven. I know some of you guys love superheroes. And what binds you together is Marvel. Others are here bond together by playing indoor soccer. And what binds you guys together is that round ball. And now some of you guys are having the mixed basketball team. And what binds you guys is another different round ball. Others might like K-pop. And what binds you together is the style of music. But there's something which rules over them. If you accepted Christ in your life, you also accept each other as brothers and sisters. What binds us together is Jesus Christ. And he binds us together within the church. The peace we have, which rules in our hearts, means the gospel is to rule our heart. Because we are all sinners. And it is Christ who made peace for us with God. His death on the cross, his blood, Christ binds us together. And with this, he gathered us to be part of the family. And that's called the church. Through the peace of Christ, we're able to love your enemies and people who wronged us. Just as God has shown us love while we were his enemies, we are to show the same love to others. Therefore, for us to have peace with God, it also means we have the peace with each other. And therefore, it goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And that's why loving each other, loving the church, it's not optional. If we call ourselves Bible-believing people who love Jesus. And therefore, the peace with God can't be separated from the peace with each other. By understanding the peace of Christ, we need to hold firmly to Jesus because he's everything to us. He's our Savior, our King, our foundation, our key, our cornerstone. He is the person we want to follow. And with this, he unites us as one body so we can be in peace with each other. And that's why Colossians 3, verse 15 says, we are to put on peace of Christ as it enables us to love one another as a church. So how are we to remind ourselves to keep putting on the peace of Christ? Let the message, this is in Colossians 3, verse 16. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whatever in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In verse 16, it tells us we can teach and encourage each other with the scriptures about the gospel, the message of Christ. We can also remind ourselves of the peace of Christ through singing psalms, hymns, and songs. By reminding ourselves of the gospel of Christ, we will then remember why we are to love one another. And remember to give thanks to God in our hearts for all he has done for us. Therefore, this is the first way of using the scriptures to love one another as a church. We use the scriptures to remind ourselves of the peace of Christ, so to help us to love one another. The second way of loving each other is using the scriptures is to teach, rebuke, and correct each other. In 2 Timothy 3:16. One of the purposes of God's word is to teach, to rebuke, and to correct, and also train us in righteousness. But today we'll be covering this teaching, rebuking, and correcting. But I will cover training in righteousness next week. But in today's society, rebuking and correcting is generally looked down upon. Some people might respond, "Don't judge me, mind your business." But as Christians, we use scriptures to rebuke and correct one another, as it teaches us about ourselves, our sinful nature, our self-deception. It also teaches us about the lies of the evil one, Satan. Scriptures remind us of our sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us that no one is righteous and no one will seek the Lord. It reminds us that no one is perfect and all men fall short of God's standard of holiness. Since we have a sinful nature, at some stage in our life, we need to be rebuked and correct. And therefore, the scripture is profitable for teaching us the truth and refuting our errors. It's profitable for changing our behavior and disciplining us for right living. And that's how we are to grow. But there is a difference between rebuking and correcting. Let me explain it. Rebuking means to help a person to be convicted of their sins, making that person aware that his or her behavior and actions are actually sinful. It's actually against God and his will and his purpose. Making that person aware that, in fact, it's against the church and against God. Therefore, the purpose of rebuking is to bring the sin to that person's attention in order that a change of behavior can take place. Correcting, on the other hand, is more of a positive than rebuking. Correcting is helping a person with a goal of recovery. Let me explain it better by using the difference between correcting and rebuking by using driving. So if someone's driving the car and you're in the passenger seat, correcting would be like directing that person back on the right lane. When that person has gone astray and started to drive on the other side, left or right, doesn't matter. Therefore, if someone was steering off the lane, you would nudge them, right? Or say something to them. Let them be aware, going back into their own lane. But if someone was driving in a lane to oncoming traffic, you won't be nudging them. You'll be yelling at them. Tell them, take quick action. You're going to have a crash. Because if you don't, it's going to be a head-on collision. So rebuking is when a person is driving the wrong way. Therefore, it's very serious. And that person needs to know straight away, as fast as possible. The scriptures tells us that teaching and rebuking and correcting one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is actually a loving thing to do. We need to all see that rebuking and correcting is a loving thing. In fact, for you to be silent, doing nothing, and not speaking up, in fact, you're not loving them. You're basically saying to God, you rather feel comfortable, and it's better for that person, for Satan to take them. You rather not have any conflict, and it's better for that evil one to hold them. You rather think about yourself, and it's better for sin to take that person to hell. When a parent disciplines a child, it's a loving act. In fact, parents who do not discipline a child are not really loving parents. I have a 3-year-old son called Curtis. Last year, he was in his terribles too. And so true, it's really terrible. He keeps pushing boundaries, very defiant, and won't listen at all. My wife, Mary, and myself, as parents, need to teach him that some of the things that he does are very dangerous. So, for example, he has figured out how to turn the fan on. And you know the fan, it's dangerous. And he's got little fingers. And he can get hurt by poking through the gap when the fan is spinning in high speed. So the safest thing to do is to unplug the fan so there's no power. But one day, I discovered that he was able to get the plug and plug the cord in the power point and then switch the fan on. So we had to teach him not to play with power, especially the power socket, because he can get electrocuted, right? But he wouldn't listen. So we had to punish him. See, if I didn't do anything, if Mary and I didn't do anything, and let him play with the power socket and then electrical cords, he could get electrocuted and die. Do you think I'm being loving to him? Or is it actually better, a loving thing to do, for me to rebuke, to discipline him, and to teach him? Therefore, rebuking and correcting is not a bad thing, as it makes us think about our actions, our motives, on whatever we do. Believe me, no one likes disciplining someone else, and the person may feel that they are invaded, his or her boundary. And he or she might be thinking, you're just a joy killer. But if the church sets no boundaries and there's no disciplining, once again, are we truly being loving to the people? And more importantly, are we holding up God's word? Is the church being truthful to God's word? Is the church being faithful to the scriptures? Is the church being a shepherd of Jesus? One of the things which we need to do to love each other as a church is to discipline each other when a person sins. But when we rebuke or correct a person, we should not do it in a malice and hurtful manner. The aim is so God's people can grow and mature in their walk with Christ. We are to do it in a loving manner. And as a result, God can be most glorified because his people are willing to be holy for God. People are willing to accept the truth so God's greatness and goodness can be seen by others. And therefore, this is the second way of using the scriptures to love one another as a church. We love one another by using the scriptures to teach, rebuke, and correct one another. Let's recap on what we have learned from today's sermon. The scriptures hold us together. It tells us to love one another as God's people. We are taught by the scriptures to be holy, compassionate, to be kind, humble, and patient. But we also need to forgive each other because it's not just the lovely thing to do, but because it's what God has done for us. And furthermore, to teach and rebuke and correct one another. This is the word of the Lord. So what does loving each other as a church look like according to God's word? Firstly, we need to use God's words to tell us how to love one another. The scriptures tell us clearly what we should do to love one another, show us to do to love one another. Loving each other as a community according to the scriptures means that whatever we do, we need to have the scriptures as the center. Our words, our deeds, in our life. We are not just to learn the scriptures about God's character and how he revealed himself to us. That's important, but we also need to live it out, which is also pleasing to him. Basically, putting the scriptures in action. Living a godly manner, a godly life, walking the talk. Secondly, we need to come together, upholding the word of God. We need to teach truthfully as leaders, as community groups, in FCG, in Extreme, and even Sunday school. We're able to defend the word of God and help each other learn more about the scriptures. We all should read God's word for ourselves and not just take the leaders for granted, because we all are under God's word and his authority. And that's why Grace Point, we always tell you guys to open the Bible, to read it daily. That's your food, your source. It's a tool when we meet on Sundays, when we open the Bible. It's a tool when we do Bible studies, when we go to SCG community groups. It's also a tool when we discipleship, do one-on-one. Only God's word will build God's people. And that's why we need to teach it and learn it. There are going to be times where we need to protect each other as there's wolves among us. We have a responsibility to guard, to protect each other as a church with God's word. Don't count on Chong all the time. Don't count the oldest person here, Mark King, because he's the wisest and the oldest. We all need to be ready. And we can do this by reading the Word of God, the Bible. Everything is there for us. If you're interested in reading the Bible, come and see myself today. Usually myself, I'm going to be doing a training course. That's how to read the Bible and how to write a Bible study. The Bible is not just rules about famous people, about brave kings. It's a book about how God loves his children and how he rescues them. We all need to take responsibility to grow yourself, to grow each other with the Word of God. And the Bible teaches and trains us how to magnify God the most. which brings glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as a community of your people, we ask that we can use your words, use the scriptures to help us to love each other by teaching your words with love and also upholding your words all the time. Amen.